Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Zebra Stripes Podcast. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, joined as always by Coach Whit LeJour. It has been a fantastic first week of men's basketball. I actually wanted to let all the people out there that told us that the women's game was going to be better than the men's game in the tournament, I just want them all to know that they were wrong. And that's because, you know, the women, they kind of hold chalk in those first couple of rounds. Now, I think that this weekend coming is going to be great for the women, but I also think it's going to be great for the men because we have so much parity, i.e. Kentucky losing. And while that's an embarrassment, I think, for a guy like John Calipari, this is the new world that we're in. And I think, Whit, you said that, you know, guys like Calipari, they say they're going to have to maybe adjust how they do things. And so it'll be interesting to see how that happens. But what are the things from the first weekend of the NCAA tournament that really caught your eye?
I'll just review some of my highlights thus far in the tournament. Clemson, who I thought had a chance, playing very well. I did pick them. One of the few things I got right, because my bracket is now just simply hanging on to the hopes of the Boilermakers. Luckily, I knew most people hate on the Boilers. So in the region and the world I live in, I could take them right now with a bracket that's smashed up. I'm near the bottom in every pool I'm in, but I've got the Boilers lurking. And, this is going to be a worst of first bracket chase for Witt as long as they hold up, and they certainly look good in game two, round of 32, putting it to them. So I like that game. Hey, I'll tell you what, the game that caught my attention the most, a lot of people's attention too, was that Alabama Grand Canyon game. I watched it and said, my God, my wife said, this is nuts. And I said, yeah, it kind of reminds me of a prep school game, highest energy. And I meant it kind of mostly in a complimentary manner, but no doubt there were mistakes being made, this and that. But game was being played with obvious intensity, and the announcers could feel it. There was an excitement to the game, even though it wasn't, you know, aesthetically beautiful. And I know, obviously, I said something to you afterwards. I was just really dismayed, honestly, that Barkley specifically, who I generally like a lot, but Barkley and Clark Kellogg killed that game. And I'm curious what our viewers, what people out there thought, but they killed that game using words like the dumbest basketball they've seen, all sorts of other stuff. And it took me back. I mean, it really did too, because I said, man, I have, you know, my first thought was we all ask for a college game to be played with less, you know, coaching per se, less hands behind the bat, let those players go. Like that's the way everyone wants to, you know, hopes the game can be played, even though that's not always the way you win. And here are two teams, and you said it, that kind of play the exact same way. I mean, balls to the wall, hell bent, and what you got was what you got. And instead of just embracing that game for the energy that it created and the excitement that it created, they chose to just call it awful basketball and the worst thing they've ever seen. And so my reaction was, you know, shame on you guys. Because I think that did the game didn't do it any justice, number one. Number two, and I didn't say this to you, but I'll say it now. I'm not sure what would have happened if those were white announcers trashing that game that for the most part had nine players of color and one white kid. I'm not sure what would have happened if four white guys stood up there and trashed that game that much, because I think people would have said, now, wait a second, because that's going back to, you know, everything that you and I have experienced, this and that. Hey, that's street ball. That's whatever code is for shitty basketball that people think is due to color. And that's, to me, it's outrageous. And I thought that is the line that Barkley and Clark Kellogg, and it took Kenny Smith to draw him back in, and he talked about how, hey, maybe it was the moment. I swear you could see his wheels turning, as he's processing exactly not only what they're saying, but it was how they were saying it. I'm going, man, guys, I don't know. I don't know. So I told myself I was going to write one of them a note. TNT, I was going to go fine. That's my homework assignment this week. Just say, guys, have you watched your clip and your take? And you stand by what you said? Because, I mean, good for you if you do. If you want to tell me, hey, it was just shitty basketball, and that's what all you were saying, all right. I think you missed the essence of that game then. It was freaking great. It just, you know, it was a little, again, it was a little out of control, but it was freaking great. And that's what we asked for. Like let's have more games like that rather than 42-40 and, oh, look at these coaches controlling every possession and yada, yada, yada. Because you're going to kill that too when that happens. Hey, let the guys go. So I thought it was borderline alarming, and I thought it was way off base. But I'm very curious your take on it, and some of our listeners. I look forward to seeing what the hell they thought.
So I agree with you that I thought they probably went a little too far. I think that they got rolling. You know how you just start to get rolling, saying stuff, and then once you get rolling, it's like, let's continue to pile on, right? I thought that's what happened. But I have a question for you, and then I'll go. Do you think they were blaming the players, or do you think they were blaming the coaches?
Well, I think primarily, see, this is, you know, it's a great question. I think they were blaming the coaches, but if I'm listening to that, I think the I don't know. I think the game is played by players. So de facto, you're putting it on the players. Well, maybe you should have made that clear, I guess, is what I'd say in response to that. You should have said, you know what? Because they didn't say that. That's different. If they had said, you know, that's one of the most poorly coached games I've seen, and here's why, you know, Nate Oates, you blah, 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 and I know you've struggled to get your team to play defense all year long, but that you're better than Grant Canyon. You've had guys, you know, Grant Canyon is just a new collection of high major guys that Bryce Drew got this year. So, you know, we'll give him a pass, but they did not talk directly to the coaching. If they said that, that's a different comment. That's a different, and that's a great take. So, by default, they're killing the players.
And so here is my thing. I don't think that was directed at the players, but I understand why yourself and maybe other people out there felt like it was a slight on the players. Number one, Barkley has never been a guy who has been accused of articulating himself well, right? Like really being able to articulate the point. Like you almost have to read between some of the things that he says, right? So that's one thing. I've never heard Clark Kellogg be that cavalier with the criticism like that. That's not something I normally hear from Clark Kellogg, but you know how it gets when you get older. Sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm gonna say what I really want to say and be done with it. What I believe is that they were talking to the coaches. And if we're looking at this, because we are, I stand by this. We're not just a fanless basketball pod. We talk about basketball because we like it played in a manner that is respectful of the game. And quite honestly, that was horrible coaching out there. It was just bad coaching. Like, I get it. Let them go. Let them play. I'm all with pace, and I'm all with free willing, but it has to have some type of, where were the bumpers? Where were the bumpers at? Where was the, okay, y'all have gone too far. Let me reel you back in. Like, this has been my Nate Oates. This has been my Nate Oates criticism all season. Like, how do you have a collection of talent that is this high that can't play a lick of defense? And now I have to start questioning whether or not it's even a priority of his to teach. Because you can't be this bad at it all year. Get to the tournament, play against inferior teams, and tell me it's a priority. Right? So either you're not teaching it or you're allowing it. Isn't that how the old adage goes? Either you're teaching it or you're allowing it.
Yep.
Right? So
that's correct.
Like, at some point, we have to be able to criticize these coaches who are getting paid asinine amounts of money to coach at these universities when they do stuff like let Grand Canyon almost put up a billy on you. Like, that should not happen. It should not happen.
Well, okay, and you're, you know, here's what my take's a little different. I'm gonna say that was a hell of a basketball game on that night, and that part of the, you know, that sometimes something happens when, again, back to your point, when two teams that maybe essentially are built the exact same way run into each other, and it would be no different than if Henry Iba coached against Bob Knight, or, you know, you could take two stalwarts that want to grind out the defense and play completely in the half court and start and just get so entrenched in whatever their philosophy is that it becomes a kind of a who's got the biggest you know what contest. And so in this case, it was the offense. So we're going to let two guys high octane, because that's the way they practice all year. And now they just push the envelope. So I'm more forgiving of the game. I'm saying it was a hell of a game. It was entertaining. It was sloppy. But and I guarantee if both of those teams played the next day or 2 days later, if Alabama we're going to see again, it wouldn't look the exact same. It just did that night. Just like, and even if you want to say it wasn't good, and I'm not saying that, all coaches have had bad days of practice when your team is trying to essentially do what you like to do, play the way you want to play, the right way, whatever that is for each team, and they just don't do it. So in some respects, I'd say, okay, what we saw was a bad practice day, a game that had these teams that essentially play similarly, and, you know, just all hell broke loose. I freaking loved it, and I think the announcers at the arena who were in a position unlike the TNT crew and others, right? They loved it. I mean, they were almost their skin was getting blown off by the game, and some of their comments they made reflected that. I think the people in the arena loved it. And so I'm not going to turn back around and list all these things that were so great about the game, because there were so many. And then, oh, by the way, you know what? You coaches could have done a better job too. Yeah, maybe you could have, but so couldn't every other damn coach in the tournament, some who won and some who lost. So I'm not going to be as critical. I'm going to say hats off. In fact, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say kudos to you coaches for having the nuts. Kudos to Bryce Drew for literally, like he did, there was only one set. It was a bad shuffle-like set for someone that really knows their stuff and wants to go look at it. It was the worst shuffle offense set I think I've seen forever. And they ran it three times. But other than that, you know, it was great. I mean, everyone that watched the game was a baller saying, God, I wish I played for that guy. And, you know, geez, that reminded me of being down in the gym at 8 o'clock at night. And okay, whose turn is it now? And there that was just fun. That was just fun. So I'm done with it. That's my take. Get off that game's, not to you, but to TNT, get off that game's back. And whether you were at the players, I hope you're right about that. and to you know, God damn, fans should just be thankful that that game took place.
It was an entertaining game. I think we can separate the two. And that's what I
Right.
choose to do. It's an entertaining game, but if we want to talk ball, like
Well, if you want to.
that's a if we want to talk ball, that's the game you turn on and go and you start and you get the clicker out and start pointing to stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like
Or you say, hey, guess what? We ain't gonna win if we play like that too many times.
that's my point. Like, we can't do this and win. Like, I know for a fact right now, Houston, they're in a room and Samson's going, yo, we can't do this, or we're gonna lose in the next round. Duke is going to beat us if we do this versus Duke, because they're gonna make free throws. They're gonna make a ton of free throws, and we're gonna lose if we have 157 fouls in a game, right? So we have to find a way to not do this. And this is what we're going to do. So I think it's one of those things where we can separate the two. Like, we can say, hey, Gonzaga, good for you. And we could also say, Gonzaga, you got lucky with your draw, right? And we can say, hey, you look good. You look like the Gonzaga that we've started seeing over the last few years, right? But we can also say you got lucky with your first round opponent, that they played a style of ball that was tailor-made for you, right? Will Wade and run and gun and get it around, tailor-made for Gonzaga. Tailor-made, and then you got lucky that you took on a Kansas team not at full strength, that got pushed to the brink by Samford, right? They got pushed to the brink by Samford, who just happens to play the exact style of basketball that you guys play. So, like, I think the enjoyment of watching Gonzaga play and them winning, cool. The understanding of basketball and saying you had some stuff, and you know what? The beautiful thing about the NCAA tournament is sometimes you need some stuff like that to happen in order to get to the chip.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I mean, Gonzaga, if they play like that, will be a threat to Purdue. So it sets up that, like, which Gonzaga is it? The one that I was poo-pooing for their, not being the same old Gonzaga and this and that, or the Gonzaga that may be playing its best basketball at the right time against a Purdue team that obviously, again, is on a redemption tour. So good
Let me
drama in
also
that game.
draw back and say this. Last week I asked you a question about Will about your boy at Alabama and
Nate Oates.
Nate Oates. Thank you. My brain was stuck on Will Wade for some reason. And I asked you what he had done that, actually what he had done that the Avery Johnson hadn't
Right,
done,
right.
and you looked up the thing, a lot more wins, championships, well, ACC SEC championships, and tournament appearances. I then brought up the fact that he took over a team that had already gotten out of the muck, and that's not what Avery Johnson, and you specifically shut that down and went, that wasn't the argument. The argument was what he had done. And so shout out to him. I don't see him advancing past this round because I don't like teams that don't play any defense. And I don't know if they're going to be able to just, I mean, they can. I shouldn't say that. They can outscore anybody. Like, they can
Right.
score.
And the NCAA tournament in general doesn't like teams that don't play any defense. That's where that KenPom stuff comes up. So, like, you can get by a game maybe or two or whatever that is, but you typically those teams that get deeper into the tournament at some point or another need both an offense and a defense. And some will lean heavier on one than the other, but they can't be at the bottom of the pack, in either category and expect to get too far.
Hey, what did Tom Izzo do to the NCAA selection committee? Did he do something to the NCAA or to the selection committee or something? Like, why do I feel like in my lifetime I've seen a lot of Michigan State, North Carolina? I feel like every time I turn around, they're playing in a preseason like tip-off or a early season tip-off classic or a challenge. Like, I feel like he has to always end up with North Carolina on, on a road to something. And we know that he always plays one of the toughest schedules in the, in the country. And that's why his teams come into the tournament if they make the tournament battle tested. We get that. But man, that's a tough second round draw if you're Izzo. And he tried to put a little move on him, but I'll tell you
Well,
something I saw about Hubert Davis that I actually enjoyed.
you love the
Where'd the
passion, I
person,
bet.
where did the personality on the sideline come from?
He's got it. I've been telling you that's been, I've been watching that. I've been telling you that since we started. You started killing him on this pod. I've been saying, wait a second, you watch that game tonight. You see Hubert in that timeout. Hubert has got the juice going.
He's got juice. They still do some bonehead stuff, but he's like, he was. I was like, oh snap, look at Hubert over there, like little like mixing it up. I don't think Hubert Davis has ever won a fight. I just want to put that out there. I don't think Hubert Davis has ever won a fight. I'm not even sure if Hubert Davis has ever been in the fight. But he has some juice on him. He has some of that stuff. Boy, I was like,
Well,
oh,
those are the
is he?
words he used in that timeout, by the way. Something about, hey, listen now, if we don't, if we don't join this fight, we're out, Right.
Right. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching him, be more animated, be more demonstrative. And I think North Carolina is looking impressive.
That's the guy I've believed in since, since the beginning. And it's taken you a little while to warm up to the guy that I said from the start would bring them back to prominence.
Yeah, I still don't like him. Like, I still don't like him as a person. Like, I don't, I don't
You
like
just
him.
said you.
But I enjoyed watching that. Like, I still
Well,
like him.
okay.
Like,
Okay,
we're not having a
you made
drink.
that
If you
you
gave
made
me the
that
option
case.
right now of like going and having a drink with Hubert Davis or Tom Izzo, I'm taking Izzo every single day. By the way, him losing that game for me did nothing to take away my in Izzo I trust like motto.
Why? He'd already he
Nothing.
had won round one. He did an unbelievable job with his team again. I loved his quote after, like he's gonna advance further in this tournament in the future or die trying. I mean, that was vintage Izzo, that quote. Hey, by the way, I mean, just back to the Zags for a second, but 9 in a row in the Sweet 16. I mean, that's Izzo like by Mark Few, because he's as good as they come too. There's a lot of
He's really good. He's really good. And you know what
But
it
I'll
gets
tell
me
you what
thinking?
though, I'll tell you what, he's really good, right? And Izzo's really good. And Bill Self, you've heard me say how much respect I have for Bill Self. But I'll tell you what, and I'm not late to the party, but I am all in on the best of the bunch just might be Danny Hurley. He might be the best of the bunch. He is putting I'm calling it a Coach K-like run, a vintage Duke-like 80s getting going. He is when he if he gets this done, and obviously I'm rooting for the Boilers because that's my only chance in my pool. Okay, so I'm rooting for the Boilers. But if and when Danny Hurley gets this done, he is on a Coach K-like trajectory to own college basketball. Yes.
I was not expecting that. Like putting him on that level is interesting. I don't put him on Jay Wright's level yet.
Right. Well, you again, I'm forecasting now. Obviously, what Jay, I agree on, you know, if we did the, you know, if right, if we did my Nate Oates versus Avery Johnson thing, you're 100% right. I'm forecasting saying, hey, listen, I'm just starting to add things up. I watched his team play last year and they played basketball, okay, yeah. on both
they played my kind of basketball.
High level. And they can beat you this way and that way and this way. And you know what? He's got the same thing this year going on. And so they're just competitive as the day is long, which is what obviously he's all about. And UConn really, but I mean all these programs. And then they're running offense with a European flair, but with a you know, like good luck guarding them. They are very hard to guard. And oh, by the way, he's recruited very talented players and in fact inserts pieces just like you were talking earlier that fit when he needs to fill a hole. So it's not all yep. just, you know, this and that. So I think he has command of what it takes. Just like you're saying, you know, hey, if I was at this level, here's what he's got command at what it takes at that level right now. He's got a mm-hmm. blueprint, and you can see that blueprint at work. And just like, again, it doesn't have to be Coach K, but all these guys who made their mark by Izzo being teams improving and playing their best basketball in the tournament later in the year, et cetera, he's doing it. So hopefully I'm not jinxing them, even though I'm really not rooting for them to go all the way. I want them to lose either to the Boilers or before they get there. But no, you know, his teams have been so dominant. I actually am rooting for them because they're putting on a clinic right now. In the last 2 years, I'm talking about, not just this year, not just last year. They're putting on a clinic, and I don't think there's an end in sight. Like, people are going to be playing catch up to Danny Hurley, which most everyone that listens to this pod knows. But hey, by the way, Dad Bob, right, Naismith Hall of Famer, so at St. Anthony, so like kind of grew up around it. Brother Bobby, one of the best college basketball point guards in the history of the game, college game. And then here's almost the, not black sheep, but I remember him coming out of high school and going into, you know, so here's a guy with that hasn't lost the fire. Let's just put it that way. And it's translating. He's finding a way to make it all translate. Very, very impressive. I give him, man, do I give him props for that.
Yeah, I mean, ditto. I think, like, he's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal. I've loved the way he's constructed his program, the way he's been able to keep his philosophy held over as he's moved schools, right? Like, as he's taken jobs, like, a lot of the guys who have done that have not been able to allow the magic to follow them. This is what's going to get put to the test with May being named the new head basketball coach at Michigan. It's not that I dislike the opportunity for May to do it at Michigan. I didn't agree with the firing, especially as I learned more about the situation. Did you know that Michigan had commitments from Love and another young man? I'm forgetting his name right now. Both of whom are 20 plus point scorers that are still in the tournament and leading their teams. They had commitments for them to go to Michigan, and Michigan denied them, would not allow them into the school, would not admit them into the school. Like, where does that happen at? Where you don't allow the coach to have, these aren't kids who have never been in college. These are kids who are eligible and in college. Like, and I mean, not for nothing, Love comes from North Carolina. It's not like he came from, you know, North Carolina A&T, no disrespect to A&T or anything like that, but like, you know, that, like, what are we doing? I've never seen that. I've never seen where, you just get shut down. And then all of the stuff that happened with his health, like it was just a really, it was a look for Michigan. But again, like we talked about last week, I think part of that, the past transgressions and the things that he've had happen allowed them to be able to move on from him without getting this backlash in how they treated him on the way out. People point to his team the year before this, where they had three future NBA players. And I go, you can look around the entire college basketball landscape and see teams with NBA talent that underachieve. Like, that's not something brand new. I was like, but we'll never know what he would have done this year if you would have given him the team that he wanted to put on the field, and if he wasn't dealing with heart issues that he had to, you know, work back through.
So I mean, the most damning thing you say to me there is the idea that you bring up North Carolina, and so guys that were already in college and this and that, the piece of that puzzle there might be that, you know, and it's gone, it's a few years old now, but North Carolina was embroiled in that very serious academic expose, Taylor Branch, several yep. years back. And so that could be one institution poo-pooing another's. But, you know, in a world where, you know, those lines are very blurry academically, and you don't see them, you know, you don't see them mean too much, frankly, and at the highest level too often. So, yeah, I would say I think it goes back. It has to go back to not just incidents with Juwan, right? But it has to go back to somehow, some way, his interactions with some powerful people there, or maybe decision makers themselves, who, you know, because to fire one of their own who they celebrated in coming back, who the others. So, you know what, hasn't happened yet, and I it'll be interesting to see, you know, Chris Webber and some of the other Fab Five, do they come out? Remember, there's hiring now. That was a reconciliation. That was part of it. And that was a pretty big deal. So I have yet to see anything where they've come out and trashed Michigan for this. But that will be interesting too.
Jalen Rose has made comments about how disappointed he is in the decision. But I also looked, and like Juwan Howard's socials, they all still say Michigan, like head coach on them. Like, yeah. Like, I think what you see here, as crazy as it might sound, because we don't see it as much today, is people who really and truly loved their university. Like, right. Like Juwan Howard really loved Michigan. Like, out of all of the guys, out of all the Fab Five guys, I think it's pretty clear that Juwan Howard really, really loved Michigan.
Like, well, I don't think you leave the NBA and go back to college if you don't have a strong affection for it.
Yeah, because he didn't need to. This wasn't like a desperation move for him, you know. And so that's one of the things I look at. But the May hiring is interesting, because you could argue that the bloom was already off the rose at FAU this year, right? They got essentially the entire squad to come back. And we're not able to be a dominant team, as you see a lot of the teams that get everybody back be, right? So,
well, yeah, I'm a Dusty May supporter, so I'm a big supporter. And I
who
so
don't
I,
you support? I, who's the guy that you I, don't support?
That'll be in the next pod. Good teaser for the next pod.
Okay, let me do some homework on that. Support.
Yeah. And I'll get you some names, okay?
But Dusty have May, mercy, man.
Dusty May, I support. I like him. I got a good Dusty May story for you. I don't know if I can go public with it, but
fair enough. In any case, I don't have a problem with Dusty May, by the way.
Right. No. So, what I was going to say is, again, I'm a karma guy, energy guy, and a karma guy. So, like, Dusty May had an unbelievable run last year, and the basketball gods this year you know, it was set up for him to do something regardless of the regular season, which didn't go quite as well as you would have expected. But you say, well, they're getting ready for the tournament. And yet that's what happens. Like, there's no such thing. You get what you ask for and they got it. But the karma thing is, hey, you're on a magical ride last year, this year, not so much. Okay. My Boilermakers have been just, you know, they're just beaten by their own, by the way. They're beaten to a pulp by their own alums and support, you know, not the diehard supporters, but the, you know, casual Purdue people love to hate them. Yeah. And okay, guess what? In my, you know, Tony Bennett, Virginia style, another guy I like, the Boilers are gonna get it done. It's a redemption story. So the basketball gods have a way of, you know, Seinfeld said it's even upper, you know, it's even Steven. It's the same deal. Things even out, man. It's to even out. You can throw money out the window. It all comes back to you.
All right, so let's do this. Let's do this on the way out. Let's look at pull up your brackets. I know you've got brackets in your hand, right?
Yeah.
Sweet 16. Let's run through the tournament.
Love it.
And let's say who we like and give a quick like one sentence on why we like them.
UConn, Hurley. Oh, okay. I thought you meant one.
Who are they playing, though?
Word.
Yeah, who are they playing?
They're playing San Diego State, which, again, formidable team from last year. But I like, yep, I like UConn with the total package against a gritty San Diego State team.
Yes, UConn can San Diego State, San Diego State.
Right.
Yep.
Iowa State, Illinois. Again, I'll tell you what, I like Iowa State in this game, but I don't feel great about it. I'm curious where it's being played. I think it's being played in Boston, actually. So,
Boston.
Yeah. I got Iowa State, but I got that as a pick'em.
Okay, so Iowa State, if you're a betting person, bet Iowa State the first half because Illinois always comes out horribly. But they're going to make a run in the second half. And I think they have a chance to chase them down in the second half.
Right. North Carolina, Alabama. You know, as much as I trust Nate Oates, I'm riding Hubert's dancing shoes to advance here. I do think Alabama, for some of the reasons we mentioned earlier, is going to come back with a grittier effort because they've heard all the boo birds in that game too. So I think you're going to see Alabama at their best. And we both know North Carolina is not perfect, so that's going to be a closer game than some people think. I think it's going to be a possession game, but ultimately Carolina gets them.
I think Alabama will come out and try to play tougher than they've played in these first few games, play a tougher brand, and it's going to get them in foul trouble. I think that gets North Carolina out the back door with a almost double digit win when all is said and done. I say between 8 and 10 points.
Arizona, Clemson. As much as I like the job Brad Brunell is doing with Clemson and this, that, and the other thing, I think he's going to have a hard time. So Arizona rolls with the double digits, but when Clemson beats them, we're going to be left saying, God dang, Arizona let me down again. But I'm going to take Arizona, who's trying to make amends for their exit last year to Princeton as well. So they're on a redemption tour themselves.
Arizona, just too much firepower. Like, they got too many different ways to score, and they play decent defense when necessary.
I'll tell you what, that Houston-Duke game is pretty dang interesting. I'll take the feisty veteran Houston's and Kelvin Sampson, but Duke is finally putting up the kind of fight that Jay Will has wanted to see out of them, and that might be my upset special if I was going to pick one. I might actually, you know, and I'm not a Dukey guy, but I don't hate Duke's chances to make that game interesting.
Funny note, I'll tell you the story off air, but Jay Will, one of my least favorite people I've ever met.
Fair enough.
Obviously I'm a North Carolina fan. But I think Houston defense grit, they won't have another game where they get a million fouls called on them, like ticky-tack fouls too. Like, I think that'll be the difference.
Talk about a team that got lucky. Marquette, you know, you're talking about the draw for who you say had Gonzaga. The great draw. Yeah. Gonzaga. So Marquette got a great draw. And now ends up getting North Carolina State, which had to win, you know, four in a row to just get to the tournament. So now, you know, North Carolina State in the role of Cinderella, an 11 seed, I think. I think they've got enough to beat Marquette because I'm just not that much of a believer in Marquette. But I'll take Marquette here because, you know, the role's got to end sometime for North Carolina State.
North Carolina State, who I talked about, you know, last week as being like one of those gritty teams, beat the Tar Heels in the ACC championship game. But I just think that when you have to play at that level, game after game after game, at some point you can't sustain. And Marquette has that nuclear option where they can just get hot and hit you for, you know, 18 for 28 from 3-point line, and it's over for you.
Purdue, Gonzaga has that Michigan State, North Carolina feel to it, so that's going to be a marquee game. And I do think Gonzaga's up to the task. I think that's going to be, you know, if Mark Few pulls it off, it's going to be a masterful coaching job, but for reasons I've already belabored, I'm riding with the Boilermakers to get me my. But this is a big one. This is a big hurdle for them, for sure. But I like them. But in a close game.
What's the thing that always seems to trip up on Purdue, and it's guard play? Guard play is always the undoing of Purdue, and I think that'll be the undoing of Purdue in this game. Zags with the upset.
And last is Tennessee, Creighton. And I think this one is, you know, again, I mean, Creighton's a good sleeper pick to get all the way through. And I don't discount that. And Doug McDermott is another guy who knows what the heck he's doing, that's for sure. But I think Rick Barnes has too much with Tennessee. So I like Tennessee here, even though, you know, Creighton's not a bad sleeper to, you know, some people got them going all the way, for God's sake. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, Creighton, because Creighton still can, you know, when in the right environment, they can still score, but Tennessee plays really good defense. They'll get up in you. And I think that can't be ignored. I'll take Tennessee to come out what I think will be a closer, more tough game than a lot of people who think Tennessee is just going to like run over them. And then I think that the people who think Creighton have a chance to make the four, I think they're just a sexy team to pick. But I'm going Tennessee.
You know, if we wanted to, we could take it a step further because it'd be two games because this will get us to the, you know, right?
Yeah.
This will get us to the four.
Yep.
So we'll do it just because I know we're not going to pod again. I mean, but I want to say, obviously, I took a lot of chalk here. Like the chalk, as good as the tournament is for what exactly what you said at the start, and as bad as my bracket is, which is the worst, and it should be the worst because this is the least I've ever watched of college basketball. So I deserve the bracket I got. So I'm riding one banner, but chalk in this tournament I think is gonna hold up in these rounds here, almost like you were talking about in the women's bracket. So we would have a Purdue Tennessee game. That's what I'm picking anyway, and so obviously I'll take Purdue to get where I need them to go.
I think Gonzaga gets it done, and if they get it done, they're going to the Final Four.
Wow, you, Gonzaga gets it done and then gets on to the Final Four.
If they beat Purdue, they're beating Tennessee.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, which is going to be that's going to be an unbelievable story. If I'm right about Houston, right? Who do I got? I'll say Houston gets that one. So then obviously they're getting to the Final Four because I'll take Houston over Marquette.
For sure.
Yeah. So that's what I got there. The other side of the deal is, you know, obviously the North Carolina-Arizona game, and I got Carolina there, but it, you know, Hubert Davis is going to be cutting his teeth with a lot of Carolina fans in this tournament. Like, they're going to get it done, and he's going to prove what he needs to prove, or the doubters are going to be out in force if he loses as a one seed. And these are teams that both teams that can beat him. So, but I'm going
to
take Carolina.
If he loses as a one seed to Arizona with his best player from last year that went there, it's not going to be a good look. I'll take North Carolina because I'm just riding with my squad, but that's going to be a tough one.
And obviously, UConn is just gonna
they're gonna roll
business, and they got the draw in Boston, and where were they, in New York before that, right? So they had to get by what some people were calling a tough bracket, but I mean, things are falling into place for them, and they are gonna roll. So I'm sure we'll meet up before the four. So.
Yeah, by the way, I've got North Carolina with the upset of UConn in the Final Four. That's how it gets done, if I'm not mistaken. That's what my bracket has. We'll reconvene and really go over our power confidence picks next time. So you want to make sure you're back, because again, we're spot on when we get in the lab and go to work. We're spot on with this thing. But yeah. That's how my bracket is set up. That's how North Carolina gets it done. They upset UConn, and then culmination game with whoever's on the other side, because now that no Kentucky's there, I really didn't like that Kentucky matchup, but I had them winning. I like it.
All right, brother. That's all I got.
I feel like that was – that you know how you got one more sprint in you? I feel like that was your last sprint right there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Zebra Strikes Podcast, episode 10, right? Episode 10? If we were on 9 last time, it's episode 10?
It might be. I've got to do better with my episode.
Yeah, that used to be your job. You were supposed to keep the episode straight.
Yeah, I got to get my act together.
Trust in me, man. That's crazy. I'm going to say episode 10, but it might be 11. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for joining us. As always, make sure that you leave a comment. Tell us what you think. We want to hear from you. You can follow Coach Witt at Witt LeJure. You can follow me at Gene Clemens. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. And also, prayers out to all of the families and the people involved in the tragedy in Baltimore. I don't know why I didn't start with that. I have family there. When I found out about it, I got on the phone immediately and reached out to them to see if they were okay. And thank God, one of my cousins, he takes the bridge, but he doesn't take it until 8 o'clock. And this happened in the morning. But, you know, prayers up to anybody that's having to deal with this. And you know what? Like, to the news people that were asking the mayor about how long he thought it was going to take to get the bridge like rebuilt when there's still bodies in the water, shame on you. Like that's not the time. I don't care that you have a job to do. That's not the time. Like, be mindful of the time and the people that you have going on. Prayers up to them. I hope all of the people there find the peace and the solace that they need to get past this tragic event. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, you all be blessed. We have a good one.